Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning, everyone. How are we doing? Can you hear me okay? Great. We are in the book of Daniel 6 today for us. So I'm going to ask Nicole, if you don't mind reading, we'll read, we'll pray, and then we'll jump in. Thanks, Nicole.
You're welcome. Good morning. Again, Daniel 6, I'm reading out of the NIV version, starting verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Verse 13. Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, who you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lion. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Thank you. Thank you. It's pretty, but before I do that, just that last verse 26 there, "For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will never end. He rescues and he saves." So let's just keep that in mind as we look into the chapter this morning. And it's just a reminder of how great God is and what he does and what he's able to do. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the great God who endures forever and that you are the one who can save and you're the one who protects. And so, Father, as we look into your word now, we pray that you just give us truth, knowledge, and application. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I was looking back at my notes, and it's the second time that I'm doing Daniel 6. That's kind of interesting. But let's do this. We're going to do a little summary of Daniel 1 through 5. Let's just see how we got to this place where Daniel is now. And so some key events leading up to this. Daniel chapter 1, we find that Daniel with some other young Israelites, they are taken captive to Babylon. And this is after the conquest of Jerusalem. So this is the event that marks the beginning of Daniel's life in a foreign land. Now, this is very common practice at the time for youth of royalty or prominence to be taken and trained and, you know, taught the cultures and the ways of those within the Babylonian Empire. Also in Daniel 1, we find Daniel and his friends are tested through their dietary preferences, refusing to eat the royal food and wine and preferring to eat a diet of vegetables and water. And after a period of time, they are found healthier than those who ate the king's food. Daniel 2, we find King Nebuchadnezzar having kind of bad dreams. Nobody can interpret it. Daniel comes along and he can. And so Daniel's favor is beginning to increase. Daniel 3, you can see Daniel is obviously a man of integrity and faith, because in Daniel 3, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refuse to bow down to the golden image, and they're thrown into a fiery furnace, but they survive. Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, or King Nebuchadnezzar, has a period of madness and as divine punishment for his pride. Daniel interprets his dreams. After a period of insanity, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the sovereignty of God. So Daniel 5, we have the handwriting on the wall. Belshazzar, who's the successor, sees a mysterious handwriting on the wall, and Daniel interprets the writing, predicting the fall of Babylon to the Medes and the Persians. So all of this leading up. So Daniel's life changes initially when him and his friends are taken to serve in Babylonian courts. However, Daniel gains favor. It says that Darius appoints 120 satraps, so he's creating leaders who lead others. One of the three administrators was Daniel. Now, obviously, there was people who were unhappy with Daniel's rise to favor, and so they started plotting against him. But Daniel was unwavering in his faith to God, and we see that very clearly. And because of that, those who are against him have to hatch these plans to try to entrap him. But let's look at five things that we can learn from this story of Daniel in the lion's den. So, number one, if you follow God, accusations against you will be proven false. So in the beginning of Daniel 6, we see that Daniel is a man of God. King Darius respects him, appreciates him. And his actions, Daniel's actions, were to reflect God and not to bring attention to himself, or to glorify anyone around him. So he stuck to his principles. He still did his job. And so when the rumors started that Daniel was going to be promoted, those in the court who weren't fans of Daniel started to plot revenge against him. Now, Daniel had already proven his faith, which showed those who opposed him that they would have to be dishonest to convict him. So Daniel was an upright man, and so these guys were hatching this plan. Now, when you are living your faith in God the right way, looking to serve God instead of yourself, you will find those who don't understand, right? There's always going to be those who don't understand, might try to trip you up in some way, right? People might come against you. They'll try to find fault with you, even if it means forcing you to choose between God and duty, as Daniel is in this situation. But if we believe in God's word and we follow what's happened here, if we continue to follow God as Daniel did, whatever accusations are made against us will be proven false, right? Because God will redeem those he has called. So whatever is lost, God will redeem. So a phrase I like to use is that Daniel was above reproach. So what does that mean? Daniel was faithful. Daniel had character. He was trustworthy. He had integrity. And so, how can we be above reproach like Daniel? So, the true test of a man or woman's character is what he does when no one is watching, right? So, integrity and honesty. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. So, what does that mean? It means we have to act with honesty and transparency in all our dealings. Have to keep our word and fulfill your commitments. Those commitments could be anything, right? To family, work, friends, to God. Third one there is avoid deceit and dishonesty, even in small things, right? So honesty, integrity. Excuse me. The second one is faithfulness and commitment. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, he remains faithful when we are faithless, right? So if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he, because God cannot disown himself. So continue to commit yourself to faithfulness, right? So be committed to your principles and values. Stay true to your beliefs and faith, even when life becomes hard. Demonstrate consistency in character, right? Okay, the third one there is Daniel was diligent and he was a person of excellence. So Romans 16:19 says, everyone knows you have obeyed the teaching you received. I'm happy with you because of this, but I want you to be wise about good things and pure about sinful things. And another way to say that is be innocent of evil. Right, so work diligently in your task and responsibilities, right? It is honoring to God when we do that. Strive for excellence in your work and in your personal life. Continuously improve and seek to excel in your endeavors. So if God has gifted you at the place he has placed you, we should look to improve and excel our efforts. Yeah, the fourth one is Daniel had respect and humility, right? God shows favor to the humble. That's James 4:6-10. So treat others with respect and kindness. Remain humble and avoid arrogance or pride. Listen actively to others, right? That's something that I have had to learn to do. Many of us want to fix things all the time, and so we don't listen actively to others. Active listening means listening, but also differentiating ourselves and not trying to fix everything. Yeah, so listen actively and value their perspectives. Okay, where am I? Number five. All right, so Daniel complied with laws and regulations. So Mark 12:17 says, and Jesus said to them, yeah, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. So Daniel followed the laws and regulations, right? Avoid engaging in activities that are unethical or illegal. And there's a really good point I'm going to come to later on, which talks a little more about that. Number six is accountability, right? So James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another in trust. Proverbs 27:17, surround yourself with those who better you. So one, take responsibility for your actions and decisions, right? As you are accountable, be open to feedback and constructive criticism, and we learn from mistakes and strive to grow personally and professionally. Okay, number seven, Daniel had courage and conviction. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So again, we stand firm in our convictions, even if it means facing challenges. Courage and conviction means we have to have courage to do what is right, even when it is difficult. It was not easy for Daniel to make the choices he was making, but he knew they were the right choices to make. Right? He would not bow down to any other gods. He chose to pray to the one true God three times a day. He had courage in his convictions. All right. Number eight. Daniel has generosity and compassion, right? So 1 John 3:16-18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Okay, it goes on. And so we need to demonstrate kindness and compassion towards others. Be generous with your time, resources, and talents. And we see this in Daniel, right? He's taken captive. He's taken out of his place of birth into a foreign land. But yet he knows the calling and the gifting that God has given him. And so he is generous with those gifts and talents. And because of that, he is favored by King Darius. Okay, so as we look at all these things about being above reproach, just remember that living above reproach is a continuous process of self-improvement, right? So it's about maintaining high moral and ethical standards. It always requires self-reflection, it requires commitment, and a genuine desire to live a life of integrity, just like Daniel. Okay, application, some questions here. So, in what areas of your life might others be watching your actions and looking for faults? There's always people who are trying to bring you down. Now, bear in mind, how can you remain faithful to God and demonstrate integrity even when faced with criticism or opposition? And I think my favorite application question thought here is, are you holding back on faithfulness because others may be watching you and you don't want to be criticized? When we do that, we hold back on what God might want to do through. And if you remember, for those of you who were in service yesterday, as Brendan spoke about communion, but also the fact that there's this idea of that we are broken so that we might be given. And so when you hold back on faithfulness, you might be holding back on a gift that God wants to use through you to bring somebody else closer to him. So let's point number two here. So number one, let me just backtrack a little bit. So number one was, if you follow God, accusations against you will be proven false. So live above integrity. Number two, no matter what happens, never give up on God. So when the decree went out that only the king could be worshipped, Daniel had a huge decision on his hands, right? Does he stay true to worshiping God, or does he worship the king to save his life? Daniel decided that he would continue to place his life in God's hands and worshiped him freely 3 times a day, right? Praying and giving thanks to God while on his knees. Daniel was eventually discovered, right, worshiping at his home by those people that were plotting against him. They go to the king. They tell the king of Daniel's violation. So Daniel was confronted with a test of loyalties, right? You and I are confronted with the same te test every day, right? Are we going to choose to worship and honor God with our decisions and our actions or not? Right? Daniel was a loyal subject of his king, right? Are we loyal subjects of the one true God, the one who has saved us? But again, Daniel was also a loyal subject to King Darius. So he followed the laws, the ones that would choose him not to be the ones that allowed him not to be unfaithful. He followed the and he did the work that the king called him to do. Yet he knew that the King of Kings, right, deserved a higher loyalty. So there was loyalty to the king, but there was a higher loyalty to God. Now, Daniel refused to give to the government the measure of obedience that belonged to God alone, right? So what that means is he would not compromise on his values. Now, you could say it was risky for Daniel to pray, as was his custom, but Daniel knew that the safest thing he could do was to radically obey God, right? So even though it all seemed lost, Daniel continued to trust in God, and as we know, God spares his life, and he's continued to be used by God to save others. Now, question for us here. How, where am I? Okay, here we go. So the question is, how do you respond when your faith is tested, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to show others who God is? Are you going to be okay with living in the discomfort? Right? Or are you going to choose to compromise? And of course, we should not do that. So are there areas where you feel tempted to compromise your trust in God for the sake of comfort or safety? Right? It's a question to consider. Application question number 3x3 there. How can you choose to remain faithful and place your life in God's hands like Daniel did, right? So, some things to consider there. Number three. Let's see. Yep, let's do number three. Right. If you set an example of faithfulness, you never know who will be impacted, right? So when news of Daniel's violation was brought to the king was displeased with himself. And because Daniel had favor with him, he did everything he could to prevent Daniel's death from happening, but he couldn't because those laws that were put in place could not be overturned. So King Darius even fasted. Obviously, he didn't have much sleep that night. But why? Because he was hoping that Daniel's life would be spared when he got to the lion's den the next day. Now, it was clear that Daniel living out his faith in God was having an impact on those around him. Even the king was impacted by Daniel's faith. Now, when Daniel was put in the den before leaving, King Darius says, "May your God," and notice at this point, it's not his God, it's Daniel's God, "whom you serve continually, rescue you." So I think this is a turning point for King Darius. So King Darius is touched by Daniel's faith to the point where the king tells Daniel that his God will deliver him. Demonstrates that we never know who is watching our reaction to a situation, right? Somebody else's faith can be impacted in watching yours on display, right? So, what are we putting on display? So, application question. Who in your life might be watching how you handle difficult or unfair situations? Right? They're always going to happen. And how we handle them may have a huge impact on somebody else and their faith. How can your response demonstrate faith in God positively and impact their view of God? Okay. Okay. Now, this one, number four, might be one of my favorites. Your prayers for others in hardship are heard by God, right? So we know that Daniel's the focus of the story, but sometimes we can miss how King Darius's reaction to Daniel's death sentence is so important here. Now, King Darius was sad to hear of Daniel. It was saddened to hear of Daniel worshiping God, and upset for him with himself for making the decree that was turned into a law that could not be overturned. petitions for Daniel's deliverance from that, but he can't overturn the law. We know that we just spoke about this, that he fasted and he waited till the next day. Now, and he waited to see if God would deliver Daniel from the lions. Now, again, Darius learns that Daniel was saved by an angel of God when Daniel says, "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouth of the lions." And notice this part. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. So I was found innocent in God's sight. Nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty. Why does Daniel say these two things, right? So there's two aspects of Daniel's situation here. So one is innocence before God. Daniel emphasizes that he was found innocent in God's sight. So this innocence references his faithfulness, his obedience to God's laws, by continuing to pray to God despite the king's decree. Daniel was staying true to his higher allegiance to God. Right, the miraculous protection in the lion's den was the evidence of his righteousness and God's approval. Right, so Daniel, one, is innocent before God, but two, he is also innocent before King Darius. So Daniel asserts his innocence before the king to clarify that his actions were not a rebellion against the king personally, but rather a matter of obeying God above human authority. By saying that he hadn't done any wrong, Daniel affirms that he remained loyal and respectful to the king in every way, except where the decree conflicts with God's command. So why does this matter? It's a Daniel statement highlights the importance of these two things: integrity before God, right? So staying true and faithful to divine principles. And then the second part of that is integrity before others. So ensuring that any opposition faced is due to righteousness and not wrongdoing. All right, you see the difference there? So as we kind of summarize this, Daniel's example challenges us to live in a way that our faithfulness is to God is clear, right? We want to live like Daniel, so others can see we are faithful to God. Any criticism or persecution we face is unfounded, right? So our life, live in a way to prove that. And also reminds us that when we act righteously, God is our defender. Okay? All right, as a result, Daniel says, I mean, not Daniel, King Darius says, go and worship the God of Daniel. No other God should be. Let me just, so he issued, verse 26, I issue a decree in every part of my kingdom. People must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so my final thoughts here is, we have Daniel, who is above reproach, is given over to death, but yet he survives. And so this just reminds me again of Jesus himself, who was beyond reproach, sinless, right? Who in fact dies, but is resurrected on the third day. So again, we see the word of God pointing us to righteousness, pointing us to Jesus. So I hope that you're challenged by the life of Daniel and how you will live your life and how your life can demonstrate faith and show God to others. So as you go about your day today, Be challenged, be encouraged by Daniel's life, and I hope that it influences you, that the way you live would impact others and would expand the kingdom of God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak so clearly, and there's so many things that you show us as we study people like Daniel. And so, Father, we pray that we would live lives above reproach. Father, we pray that our faithfulness would be evident and visible to others. And Father, give us courage to live in a way that honors you above everything else. And so, Father, we just pray for each one today. We pray that our faith would rise up. We pray that your truth would be on our lips. And Father, we pray that today, as we honor you, we would love others, and others would come to know that you are the one true God, and others would ask questions about who you are, and we would be a testimony to you. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Hope you have a great day today.